Welcome to this week's edition of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. This past Sunday, the basketball community in the world was shocked with the sudden and tragic death of a legend, Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and seven others in a helicopter accident in California. Kobe played in the NBA from 1996 to 2016. During that time, Kobe Bryant was a five-time NBA champion, an 18-time All-Star. He Oscared Dear Basketball after his playing career. In many people's eyes, Bryant is one of the greatest players to play all time, if not the greatest. But Kobe was more than just a basketball player. He was a hero to many young boys and girls across the nation and across the world. Kobe inspired all of us. Kobe had a relentless desire to win. Kobe would do anything it took to get an advantage on an opponent, on a teammate, or a friend. Kobe Bryant was great. But Kobe's second act may have been the most important of all. Kobe took immense pride in coaching his daughter's basketball team. And as my wife and I prepare to welcome a young girl into this world in the next few days or weeks, Kobe's inspired me to be the absolute best dad that I can be to our daughter. Thank you, Kobe, for all the memories and all the fun we had rooting for you, against you, and just watching you play the game. Coach Pilot Clark Range reflects on what Kobe Bryant has meant to him and the game of basketball.
Oh, yeah. Kobe was a unique individual. I think he brought a lot to the game and a lot of excitement. I grew up a Lakers fan in the 80s and 90s with Magic Johnson and James Worthy and all those guys, and then Kobe came back with Shaquille and brought that Laker dynasty back, and so Kobe's meant a lot to the game, and it sounds like he's trying to do his part after his career is over and get the community involved and things like that. So he's been really good for the game, and you hate to see anybody leave, but sad to see him go.
And Coach Pyle, something that I'm not real big on social media, I'm not sure if you are either, but something that's been going on the past couple days has been a hashtag called Girl Dad. And you have a daughter who plays on the girls team and who's a junior. And just what does it mean to you to be able to watch her play?
Oh, it's very special. When I first got into coaching, I was kind of stern and a little bit harder, and my feelings for somebody, a player, might not have been as good as it is now. But once you become a parent and you understand that how much a parent loves that child and how much they care for them and how much they want them to do well for themselves, it's heartfelt. And so it sounded like Kobe was obviously very much involved in his girls' lives. And I saw the interview where he was talking about that's why he was taking the helicopter everywhere, was to, so he wouldn't miss play recitals and things like that, that he could be there and have more family time. So I definitely understand that aspect of it. And, our thoughts and prayers are with all those families.
Clark Range was able to get a big district win against Jackson County, and you text me after the game and said we really needed that game.
Well, kind of a typical game for us. We started out, ebbs and flows. I believe they jumped out on us, and then we came back with a little run. And basketball a lot of times is it runs in the game. And the biggest thing I can remember is we've won five games here this year so far, and hopefully we'll win some more. But we've struggled with the winning aspect of it, and we took a couple of bad shots there toward the end of the fourth quarter, maybe four minute mark to go in the game, and we caught a timeout and just basically trying to explain to them, are we trying to throw it away? Are we trying to, that's not winning basketball, because a lot of times, at the end of the game, at the end of the fourth quarter, or even a little bit at the end of the second quarter, you got to end the quarters right, and especially the end of the game. And, like we try to always stress, the fourth quarter, the end of the fourth quarter is not like the rest of the game. And so we was able to relax a little bit more offensively, take what they gave us, and was able to come out with a huge win for us that we needed, quite honestly. And so we was glad we was able to get it.
The Lady Bobcats of Pickett County only have 2 losses on the season, both to Clark Range. However, their 20-plus wins have them ranked in the top 5 per the Associated Press.
Well, absolutely. You know, anytime, you know, you're getting any type of notoriety as a team, it's a great thing. But, you know, I think we've been ranked in AP for the last several years. And, you know, it's a great thing as a coach. And sometimes I think as players we take it for granted. And, you know, I think sometimes we've seen a stretch here where, you know, we had some big, you know, win by large margins and don't feel like we've played our best basketball yet. So, you know, maybe it'll be a driving factor as the season goes on.
Yeah, you're 21-2 on the season and 9-2 in the district. Just how good can this team be?
You know, I think we've not seen our best basketball by no means. But just I think if we can ever find that, you know, that niche that really makes us go, I think sometimes we get bored as the year progresses, you know, through the stretches there when you're expected to win by large numbers and you wind up doing it. But, you know, I think we've had some games that we've been kind of lax at times. And, you know, I think when we're expected to play a complete game, maybe it'll kind of flip a switch for us. I hope. I don't think, you know, like I said, that we've gotten beat twice and both times in the district. We've been challenged a lot. I mean, I think Red Bull and Springs is a really good team. I think Clay County is a really good team, and of course Clark Range is as well. So, you know, we've got some big games coming to finish out the season, and maybe that, like I said, it'll flip a switch for us.
And you beat Gordonsville last night really handedly, and you shut them out in the fourth quarter. That's really rare to see in basketball.
Yeah, and they've got they've improved over the last several years, and they've got one kid that can really score. And I think we didn't play very well to start the game. I think it may have been a 1 or 2 point game at the end of the first quarter, and we actually got down, I think, maybe 6 or 7. So we kind of just flipped the switch, I guess, at halftime. But now we didn't play very well. We didn't feel like we played very well against the Trousel game either. Got down in that game as well, but. Like I said, you know, I think sometimes you get as a player, and maybe even as a coach, we don't take everything out. We take things for granted, I guess. And hopefully, that's something that's we're going to toss out. So I hope it, you know, again, we got to play better each and every night.
In segment 2 of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we travel south down 111 and Highway 70 to visit with the Van Buren County girls and the Warren County boys. Welcome back to the high school playbook. Built by Mountain Barn Builders. We start off segment 2 with Tyler Sapp in Van Buren County, where his Eaglettes handled Richard Hardy on Tuesday night.
We got everybody in. Almost everybody got to score. I mean, it was a good district win for us.
Coach, when you lead 52-21 at halftime, how do you keep your team focused?
When you got that big of a lead, you just try to work on things that you need to improve on. We worked on our defense a little bit with different zones and that kind of stuff just to kind of prepare.
In a blowout like that, how early do you get your other young girls in the game?
We've got 11 now because everybody's back and everybody's healthy. But you know, I don't have that too many young girls that don't play to begin with. So we just rotated bodies quite a bit, and then we did let one of the eighth graders that we moved up play almost the entire fourth quarter. And then the girl who just got back from injury, Lila, play the entire fourth quarter. But the other three, we were rotating bodies in with the people, our normal rotation, and just working on things.
I know last night would have been important just to get her legs back from under, even if she doesn't score or if she turns the ball over some.
Because she's just a freshman, and she dislocated her knee during open gyms and stuff. So she's not played all year, and, you know, she's kind of – I want to play and this, that, and the other. So, I mean, last night's good that I got her in, and then good that I was able to get that eighth grader in that we just moved up as well.
And you talked about Lila maybe having some reservations about playing, understandably so, with a knee dislocation. How have you just tried to encourage her and bring her along and just to give her some confidence?
We just talk about, like, do what you can do in practice because, like, you know, you're coming off a knee injury where you're out for 3+ months. Do what you can do, and if it gets sore and you need to take a break, then, you know, come out. It's not the end of the world. It ain't that big a deal. Just do what you think you can do, and then once you can't do no more, then come out and get your breather. And when you think you can go again, then go do it. I mean, she played the whole fourth quarter last night.
So speaking of a step for her, do you see her go through that fourth quarter and just maybe have a little more confidence in her knee?
Hopefully, that's the process and that's the plan. And I mean, I think that she's getting there.
Coach, the Eaglettes have won 9 of the last 10 games. What are y'all doing really well here over this past month?
We're playing defense and we're rebounding. So that's and not turning the ball over as much. So that's, you know, that's three big keys there. You know, you limit people to, you try to limit people to one shot per, you know, one shot. Don't give them second chance points. You don't give them turnover points. You know, you're going to be in a pretty good little position there to win some games and win games when you don't play as good, when you do those little things, you know, and don't beat yourself. So I think that's the biggest keys to what we're doing well right now is we're turning people over. We're not turning the ball over as much and we're dominating on the glass.
Chris Sullen's basketball team in Warren County have won 3 straight games and played 7 of the last 8 games at home. Sullen's and his staff spent much of their time on Sunday with their players coping with the loss of a lot of their heroes, Kobe Bryant.
You hit it on the head. All our kids, they grew up idolizing him. We grew up as coaches watching him play. Guys like him and Jordan are guys that are ultimate competitors, the type of young men that you want your guys to kind of emulate on the basketball floor. It's just as far as the competitive nature. It's just a tragedy with him and along with his daughter and the rest of the people were on board of that flight. It was a shock. It sent shockwaves through our basketball team and through the community and throughout the world. But our kids were really struggling for the first day of it. We sat down and talked to them about some things and, told them how short life was and how you need to live it the right way. I think the one thing that's probably most impressive about Kobe now that he's outside the game of basketball was basically the kind of father that he had became to his daughters. And that's something, it doesn't matter what kind of talent you have on the basketball floor or any kind of athletic field, I think the kind of parent you are kind of speaks volumes. So just praying for his family, just like everybody else is throughout the world. And our kids have kind of dedicated the rest of the season to Kobe Bryant.
And, Coach, we'll talk about Warren County basketball now. And you've played White County twice on the road already this year. Just how big will the home court advantage be there in McMinnville Friday night?
Well, we hope it's real big. You know, White County's got an excellent basketball team. And, it's a rivalry. They're right up the road. You know, it's the White Warren rivalry. They'll travel right down Highway 70 Friday night. You got a team that's undefeated now in the district, and I think for us to get back in the district race to have a chance to win this thing, we've got to beat White County. It's been something on our minds. We played Monday night, went and scouted them last night when they played Stone, two excellent basketball teams. We're hoping our home court will be packed. We know it will. I think it was our largest crowd last year. I think it'll probably be that way this year. So, and our kids are comfortable at home. We played a lot of games on the road right after Christmas, but now we've got 7 of our last 8 at home, which I think is a huge advantage. You know, we've won the last 2. It's good to be home. So we're hopeful that our student section, we know they'll be raucous and ready to go Friday night. Just expect a heck of a ball game like we had the last time we played them.
Coach, if we can look down the road just a little bit, the district and region tournaments this year are at White County, and you've played there twice already, but you also played there during the Christmas tournament. So do you think that's going to give y'all a little bit of advantage that you're a little more used to playing in that gym than a lot of the other teams are this season?
Well, I'll say this. We went and played a summer camp up there as well. We did that a couple years ago when Ray County hosted the region and district tournament. We try to get our kids familiar with their surroundings. I think it helps us a little bit that we don't have to travel as far. You know, it's probably only a 30-minute drive. Our kids are really familiar with the area. They're familiar with the gym. We'll have a lot of people that will come and support us while we're playing at White County. I do think it helps. And that being said, it's a huge home court advantage for White County, and it should be. I mean, that's a town and place that really supports their basketball teams, and they should because they've been so successful in the past. But I don't think it can hurt playing up there and getting familiar with a floor that's, not as – I think it's about 10 feet shorter than regulation. I think it's only 84 feet long. Those type of things you don't really think about, but I think they do make a difference. You know, we're familiar with how you enter the locker room, how warm-ups are going to go, and all those type of things. I don't think it can hurt our basketball team. Our kids have played up there many times, and we're really excited that we're going to get the opportunity to play really close to home for the district and if we get the opportunity in the region.
We hope you'll join us in Segment 3 of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, as we hear from White County Boys head coach Eric Mitchell. Thank you for coming back for Segment 3 of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. The White County Warriors boys basketball team defeated the Panthers of Stone Memorial on Tuesday night behind a second-half effort that saw them stretch a 7-point lead into double digits thanks to a solid defensive performance.
Well, you know, we just talked at halftime, you know. I thought they were getting downhill on us a little bit and drawing some fouls, and we just wanted them to make shots over us and quit fouling and make tough shots and just get in the they hurt us in the post early with Boyd, and we wanted to play a little more help side and play behind him and make him make tough shots over us. And we wanted to get out in transition a little more. We're really good in transition, not so much in half court, and that's what the adjustments we tried to make, emphasize the rebounding a little more.
It also seemed like your guys did a really good job of just kind of hounding their players on the defensive end. I've seen Stone a couple of times, and one thing that sticks out is they move the ball really well on offense. They usually work around to get the best shot, and you guys really kind of kept them from taking any easy set shots.
Oh, absolutely. It's the best defensive game we've played this year. And, you know, they beat us three times last year, beat us by one twice, one in the district championship game. And, you know, we just the kids done a good job preparing for the game, was ready to go. And we just, you know, we tried to cut off their cutters and put some pressure on them. I don't think they've lost but one game since early December, and they're really pass it well, really shoot it well. And, you know, it was at Sparta. I mean, Stone's one of the better teams I've watched play this year all around. I mean, they've got good shooters, good post guys. They never get out of position on defense. Just a really good basketball team. It was a really great team effort by us last night.
And that segues perfectly into my next question, because I noticed when your starters came out of the game late, I know they were fired up. You were very fired up, probably the most fired up I've seen you on the sideline in a game ever.
You know, well, it meant a lot. They beat us. We've not beaten them in a couple years now, and it really meant a lot to these kids, you know, the seniors. And, of course, it was an intense game. It was two undefeateds in the district, although, you know, I told the kids after the game, it's just one battle. It's not the war is still coming. So, you know, but we got to put ourselves a little bit of ahead. It's still a long way to go, but it meant a lot to these kids because, you know, they've had some heartbreak the last couple of years with Stone, and they really just had her number, and they were ready to go. You know, it was one of the few times that you see a team, everyone is engaged and playing their part. So, you know, I mean, it was fun to be a part of.
Is this a team that you have that you feel like you have to emphasize having that short-term memory, or are they old enough and mature enough to this point to where they kind of just know that?
Well, they're a different group, that's for sure. They're easygoing and happy-go-lucky, and it doesn't seem like a loss or win affects them the next day. So, you know, I'm very fortunate in that. You know, they've played a lot of games together, and those eight that played last night in the rotation have played a lot of minutes over the last 2 and 3 years, so and have had to. So they've been in a lot of tough situations. So I think that helped us last night. And it always helps playing at Roy Silver Gymnasium. It's just a great environment, and you know, it just makes the average game escalated even more. So,
and you've mentioned multiple times this year that getting Mason going on offense and getting him going consistently is a huge part of the offense, simply because it relieves pressure on Grant. It forces teams to have to pretty much take, you know, instead of doubling Grant, they have to guard Mason as well.
No, I sure hope so. He's put a lot of work in the gym, and he's really a great shooter when his feet set. And you know, he came out last night, and Grant hit a tough shot to get us going, and then Mason hit back-to-back threes. And, you know, anytime that happened, you know, Grant's the hardest – he is the hardest kid to guard that I've ever had. I mean, he's just 101, he's unguardable. And, I say all the time, the only person who guards you is yourself, you know, but he's just hard to guard. And last night it seemed like, you know, everybody was feeding off him, and you know, the defense was just really the key. I mean, you know, once we hit a couple shots, our defense cranked up, and that's the best defensive effort we've had all year.
Tucker Nash is the next guy, I want to talk about, because you mentioned him before as a really solid defender, and he does a lot of good work there. You know, that doesn't really pop up in the box score. Last night, he gives you 9 points, though. Just how much more dangerous does it make a team when you get that kind of an effort from him off the bench?
Oh, it's incredible, and I tell you, Tucker is one of the highest basketball IQs you know, that I've ever had. I mean, he's just he's not a great athlete, but he's in the right place, the right time. He boxes out every time. You know, he makes the right pass. He knocked down a couple shots last night. You know, he started for us this summer, and then was a motocross, and you know, cracked his vertebrae and broke his back. Then he comes back, and then he breaks his wrist affair. So he's had a rough go, and he's just now getting back to where he was in the past. And you know, of course, his older brother Dalton Nash started for me for 3 years at point guard. So he's been around a lot of basketball, and he's just so heady. And that was one of his best games last night.
Coming back from that kind of an injury, I know, is not easy. What does that just say about his character and his will that he was able to fight back from that to get to this point in the year?
You know, well, he's got grit. I mean, you know, that's all you can say. I mean, he's tough as nails. And you know, the first accident he had, you know, he was very, very fortunate that he could even play basketball again. So, you know, but he's worked hard and got back. And, you know, he's one of those kids that he leaves practice and he works down at one of the car lots washing cars every day till 9 o'clock. So he's just a tough, hard nosed kid, and I'm so proud for him. He played great last night.
So Tanner Paul is the next guy I want to talk about, because he's also played big minutes for you. He was inserted in the starting lineup not too long ago, and it seems like one of his best qualities, just when you watch him at a first glance, is just his energy.
Well, you know, Austin Burchett, who's a higher energy, he was you know, co-defensive player of the year in our league last year. He got hurt with a shoulder injury, and it thrusted those two, Tucker Nash and Tanner Paul, into the lineup in some tough minutes. And we knew all along that Tanner, you know, he's grown like a foot since his freshman year. He's about 6'4". And once he got all that together, and he's a really good shooter, and he's been hesitant to shoot, so we've been on him about that. But, you know, he just rebounds it well. He like you said, he's around the ball. He's a great slasher to the goal, and he can also play, you know, also gives us a little more depth at point guard. So, you know, he's just he played a tremendous game last night as well. They all did. I mean, you know, so.
We hope you'll come back for the fourth segment of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, where we will visit with both boys' teams from Stone Memorial and Livingston Academy. We open segment four of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders with Neil Capps, head coach of Stone Memorial, as he breaks down their first district loss against White County from Tuesday night.
Well, they I told our kids before the game that White County is one of the most efficient offensive teams that we'll see all year. They're very lethal. They got shooters at every position. They play the right way offensively. They got a lot of ball movement. They got, you know, obviously the real good scorer in Slatton. Then you know, they got good shooters around him. But they really put us in a lot of bad situations we did a pretty decent job defensively. But they are such a well-rounded offensive team, and we just could not get any flow to our offense, at all last night. We couldn't make shots. We really couldn't get things going offensively, and that showed over time. Throughout the game, over the long run, it just kind of weighed on us, because it's not just one big thing, you know, that gets you in trouble. It's just a bunch of little things throughout the game, miscommunication here, miscommunication there, and with them being so, you know, good offensively, they make you pay. When you have defensive miscues, they're going to make you pay. So.
And coach, when you're struggling there on the offensive end, you know, your mistakes on defense can seem to be magnified. And did you see your guys start to press a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we it does. When everything's, you don't see, you know, that's one of the most important stats that there are is shooting percentage. And so whenever we you don't see shots falling, it causes everything, everybody to press, everybody, you know, feels that the next shot they take, they have to make, or this, that, and the other. And then it does, and it puts that added pressure to the next shot, or the next shot, or the next play, or the next pass. And we did. We really started pressing last night, and we just couldn't find any rhythm offensively. And then you go back, and when the ball's not going in the rim, they don't have to bring it in bounds, so they get to fast break. Your defense doesn't get back and get set, and they get better looks. And that's been a staple of ours all year is, you know, we've been shooting a pretty high percentage. And when you shoot a high percentage and the ball's going through more, you get your defense back and set and locked in. And last night, we just couldn't do it. And when you play a good team, that's what happens. And but that's, you know, it's good for you. You know, nobody wants to lose, but there are losses can really wake you up. And you know, I got to be a better coach, and I got to get my guys ready. And I take full responsibility for that last night because I didn't have my guys ready. But we're going to keep working hard, and we've got four more district games to go. We'll get to see Sparta again on our floor. So a lot of opportunities still left out there.
The Livingston Academy Wildcats are coming off a solid victory against the DeKalb County Boys, but it's the progress they made and a close loss to Upperman that has head coach Jimmy Miller pleased with their progress.
Yes, sir. We were extremely pleased with our performance against them. I think we executed our game plan very well. I think that Upperman is a tough team, ranked opponent. We knew how good they were coming in. They are dangerous from the inside and outside. Their guards are tough. They have some depth. So we were really pleased with our performance. You know, we gave ourselves a chance to win that game in the fourth quarter, and that's all we were looking for. They turned out, you know, just to be a little too tough for us at the end.
What do you think was the difference from, you know, your earlier matchup with them to last Friday?
I think this team we had was young. They're young. They were definitely young as early as we played them. I think they needed some time together on the floor. I think understanding their roles, sometimes that takes a while to learn. You know, you're putting a veteran Upperman team on the floor, basically, that has been starting together since they were freshmen and they're juniors now. And these guys on this team, this is the first year most of them have been on the floor together. So that chemistry is just not something you get quickly. And I think we share football guys also, so when they get back, it takes a little while to get that timing and that chemistry built.
I'm sure this game probably served as a benchmark for you guys, right? Just to see like how much improvements and how many steps this team had taken.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. So looking at your game against DeKalb last night, you turned a 1-point lead after one quarter into a 12-point halftime advantage. What did you guys do differently on defense in that second quarter?
The biggest thing is we wanted to stay solid on them defensively, not gamble, not get caught out of position rotating. I think DeKalb County, they're a team of explosive runs, and they can be dangerous when they get hot, very. And they shoot them all well. So we definitely wanted to make the shots they made uncomfortable and make it over a contested hand. I think the energy level of these kids sometimes when they start these games, they start bouncing on their toes, and they get out of position a little bit trying to make things happen. And we just needed to, you know, bring it back a little and be solid, and we felt like that our solid would be good enough to beat them.
You know, we hear so much nowadays that pace is what's valued in an offense and that you've got to go fast, fast, fast. Is patience just as important, though, especially in a game when you're leading in the second half?
Absolutely. I think it is. I think there's a fine line between, you know, patience and being too cautious. And, you know, fortunately, we don't have a shot clock, you know, in the state of Tennessee in high school basketball yet. So you have to utilize that to your advantage if another team is stronger in other areas. And I think, yes, that game definitely has changed. You know, it's a fast-paced game. It's a quick shooting game. But when you need to implement a game plan, the same recipe that worked years and years ago still works today. You have to be fundamental. You have to be strong. They got to know the roles, patient on the offensive end. And I think that's what we're learning to do.
In the fifth and final segment of this week's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, we visit with the DeKalb County Boys and the York Institute Girls. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of this week's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, the DeKalb County Tigers lost a tough game to Livingston Academy on Tuesday, a contest where John Sanders feels like his team could have done better on the defensive end.
Really, it didn't seem like it was anything, you know, they did differently. You know, they played pretty much the same defense the whole night. We just didn't make shots. We didn't really turn the ball over that much. We just missed a lot of shots around the rim. And we didn't do a good job defensively of, you know, they were very patient on offense, and then, you know, we just didn't do a good job switching the handoffs and stuff, and then we kind of lost sales a little bit.
So I've talked to multiple coaches about Matthew Sells and kind of how hard he is to guard. Just when you're having to game plan and prepare to try to stop a guy like that, how hard is he compared to other players you've played against?
I mean, he's pretty tough because, he's a good player for one. So, you know, you got to try to keep the ball away from him. You know, if you fool deny, last night he did a good job a couple of times of back cutting, some backdoor layups on us. But, he gets to the free throw line a bunch, you know, which makes it hard to guard him, especially, you know, it seemed like every time he drove last night he was getting in one. You can't hardly get close to him without getting a foul called. So it makes it really tough to guard him, you barely touch him and he's getting to the line. But, you know, he's a good jump shooter. He's a smart player. You know, he knows how to use his body well, so he's tough to prepare for.
So what are some of the general things just in the second half you saw last night that you'd like to see your team do better?
Defensively, we did not do a good job of just switching the dribble handoff. Livingston, they did a lot of dribble drive stuff and, just motion offense. No real pattern to it, just read and react sort of things. But we just didn't do a good job of switching that, staying in front of the ball. You know, we got in foul trouble. We had two or three guards get, two guards fouled out. You know, and another one had four. You know, we just got to be smarter. Too many teams, you know, if they miss a shot, then they'd go get a frustration foul. Maybe some young and inexperienced to that, you know, where they've just got to learn to play more under control.
The York Institute Dragonettes lost a tough one to Cannon County on Tuesday, where Haley Johnson was the only player to make a field goal. While she played well, head coach Michael Green knows he needs the other players to play more consistently.
I think we played defensively. We had a pretty good first quarter. Offensively, we were terrible. Probably set the game back about 15 years there. But defensively, you know, we did a good job of doing what we wanted to do going in, keeping our assignments and all that. And the second quarter, though, was a different story.
So looking at the second half, it looked like your offense started to pick up a little traction. And was that more of just shots going in, or was the offense just executing better as a whole?
No, I think it's probably the first game ever that only one player has made a field goal. Haley Johnson was the only one that actually hit a field goal. The rest of us, I think, we were 0 for 30-something. I mean, it was – I've never seen a game like it. We could not – I mean, I'm talking, 2-foot shots. I don't know if they had a lid on the rim. I don't know what was going on, but, I mean, it would not go in for, we got good looks. We just couldn't score.
Is it one of those games you kind of just look at and go, man, if we had just had one or two other players just play like they normally do, it's a win?
Well, I mean, when two of your top three leading scorers are over, I think, my two freshmen that normally are second and third leading scorers, I think they were 0 for 21 from the field. And, when that happens, we're just lucky we didn't get blown out of the gym, honestly.
Just as far as taking a game over, is this Haley's best game that you've ever seen from her?
You know, like I said, I told her, which I had her in elementary school, so she's had some. I've seen a lot of great games from her. I said she had the quietest 35 points that I've ever seen. I still didn't think she played as well as she could have, but you know, if she would have had an off night, I guess we wouldn't have scored.
On nights when your offense struggles, I mean, you really have to play perfect on defense, don't you?
You have to, you know, we're at a rough patch right now. We went over to Oneida, Saturday, and we had a couple of possessions there, a couple of stretches where we, you know, defensively, you know, kind of let us down, and we just never could regain the lead. And I told them, I said, you know, we're gonna have bad nights offense. We're young. Freshmen, sophomores, but our defense has to be able to keep us in the game. And when, you know, if we're missing assignments, if we're not communicating and we're having a bad offensive night, it's going to be hard for us to win.
Thank you for joining us each and every week on the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Be sure to log on to ucsportsnation.com to follow all your favorite teams and high schools across the Upper Cumberland. UCSportsNation.com, driven by East Tennessee Ford. For Rusty Ellis, I'm Justin Matheny.